so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, listening to the show on a podcast, as a podcast, or watching the show on YouTube, I just want to thank you for indulging me, letting me participate in this whole Celtics experience with you. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Signed copies available on johncorrales.com for $30, or you can just buy one wherever you get your books. All right, I am coming to you after the Boston Celtics beat the Atlanta Hawks in the opening, the season opener against the summer league opener against the Atlanta Hawks. And we had Jan Madar's debut. I'm going to talk about that right away. We had Peyton Pritchard going off. We had a bunch of other guys that we want to talk about. Aaron Nesmith, Romeo Langford. Carson Edwards had a big game. I'll talk about all of that. And then in the last segment, haven't podcasted since Jason Tatum won his gold medal, Team USA winning gold in Tokyo. We're going to talk about all of that stuff here. But I got to start here with Jan Madar, who made his debut, his official debut for the Celtics. I use air quotes. You're seeing it on the YouTube page because it's not really a debut. He's not really debuting for the Celtics, but he's wearing a Celtics jersey. It's summer league. It's nothing official, but there it is. He played 17 minutes, 4 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from three, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, a nice debut for Madar. And part of the reason why it was a nice debut is he came in with the team down, and they think they were down 10-0. They had gone 0 for 8, I believe, at that point from the field. They were really, really struggling. And he comes in off the bench, checks in, and his energy instantly changes the game. Now, I want to preface all of this by saying that summer league is not about results necessarily. It's not about the ball going in necessarily. It's not about the team winning or losing games. Like, I wasn't sitting there saying, oh, got to win this game or anything like that. Now, they did win the game. Romeo Langford hit a game-winning three. It wasn't at the buzzer, but it was the game-winning shot, which was nice. Being able to execute in those moments is nice. But again, the ball necessarily going through the hoop, not going through the hoop, those things aren't the biggest concern. What we're looking at here is what translates, what works in summer league, and what can carry over into the regular season. We've seen players all over the place, everywhere, have great summer leagues and come out into the NBA and just not do well. It's just not the same. It's not the same level of competition. It's kind of G League level competition. It's kind of you're not really getting a full sense of what is this guy going to be able to do against the best defenders in the league. You want to see what's the translatable skill. So Jan Madar comes in. What's his translatable skill? It's the energy. It's being able to pick up full court and to expend that energy and work that hard. That's an important skill. He's out there. He's ready to be a dog on defense. He's going to pick up 94 feet. That is an important thing. Now, is he going to be able to guard, James Harden 94 feet? No, probably not, but he's going to be an irritant. So the level of his defensive acumen has to improve. He was picking up full court, but there were some things there where you're like, all right, let's be a little bit more technically sound on some of these things. You can't rely on just the energy, but he has that kind of energy that you say, I'd rather have that than try to pull it out of some people. That's the classic thing. I like to say that all the time. I'd rather have a guy that goes too far, it's a little too extra, than the guy that's not enough. And you got, it's easier to just say, okay, let's tone this down a little bit. Let's keep this a little bit more contained than to be able to say to somebody like, all right, let's go. Let's pull this out of you. That's harder to do. So I saw in Yamadar, obviously, that energy, that immediate kind of, all right, the game changed. He impacted the game just by being on the floor. His presence, the energy, that kind of, I'm going to do whatever it takes, is something that's infectious. That's something that works very well. So that was very impressive. I was glad to see that from Yam. He had some very flashy, very, you know, when you watch the game film, he had very flashy kind of stuff. That kind of passing was there. Some of the shot making was there. He had that turnaround, that spin move. That is something that you've seen a lot on his game film. He hit that shot. He was 0 of 2 from 3. So that it's a 2-shot sample size. So it's not a concern at all at this point. But, you know, when somebody's stated weakness was the 3-point shooting, and yeah, he hit a bunch of threes. He was a very good 3-point shooter this last season in Israel, but it's still a different distance, a different feel, different speed of the game. So you start 0 of 2 and you go, okay, no big deal. Just going to make a note of that. And hopefully that's something that changes for him. And he come out, obviously, if he hits 2 shots in the next game, all of a sudden he's a 50% 3-point shooter. So I'm not really worried about all of that. I thought that Yam's ability to kind of see what's in front of him, control, you know, not lose control of the ball, control the game, control, you know, as Joe Mazzulla said afterwards, he had a level of poise that was evident. Nothing so far in one game in 17 minutes of play that makes me say, we absolutely have to have this guy on this team this year. If the difference between getting that third star and Brad Stevens executing that plan that he has, if part of that difference is you keep Yam Madar overseas for a year and you know that coming in next year, that extra million, 2 million, whatever the number is going to be, million and a half, if that's the difference between being able to sign a Bradley Beal or your third star and having to trade somebody away in order to make that cap space, then I would rather have Yam Madar play in Israel for another year or wherever for another year. Hone your skills, get a little bigger. He does look a little thin. Get a little bit more muscle on you. Work on some of those fundamentals. Work on the foot positioning defensively. Work on just a little more solid fundamentally. I'd rather have that than get him onto a team this year. Acknowledging fully that his energy, his ability to come in and change the game, much like Robert Williams has come in and changed games with his energy, I think Yam Madar has the potential to be that rookie kind of energy guy that can come in and be like, all right, well, I'm going to sit here with next to Marcus Smart, and we're going to be two bulldogs defending like crazy. Let's go do this. That can certainly win the Celtics probably 2-3 games this season, just his energy alone. So I see the value in that, but thinking of it from a front office perspective, if the extra 2 or 3 wins this year, let's say, from his energy that he might be able to provide, is that where is that going to get the Celtics? Does that get them the 3rd seed versus the 4th seed, or does that still keep them as the 4th seed? Does that get them past anybody in the playoffs? Does that get them anywhere that they wouldn't normally be this year? I tend to think that it probably won't. And so far, and I'm not trying to make any big determinations yet, but so far I think Yam looks like a lot like his game film from Israel. He's playing the way he normally plays. He's going to have more opportunity as the week progresses. The next game is on Tuesday. He's going to show us maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit expanded game. Maybe there were some nerves. Maybe there was a little bit, you know, as they develop a little bit more continuity, there'll be more opportunity for him to show a little bit more. And obviously our perspectives on him will grow a little bit, but he didn't come out in that first game here and just dominate to a point where I would say, whew, got to get this guy on here. Just forget the plan, forget everything. You just got to get him on board and figure out the rest later. So far, this is just an early return on Madar's game. So I think that's a great place to be honest with you. It's a great place to be, you know, deciding when he, you know, mid second round pick can come over and impact the Celtics. Also very important, and I'll wrap it up on this. Unless you think that he's absolutely a must-have on the team this season versus next season, it makes more sense to delay that contract, delay the years, delay when he could become a restricted free agent. It makes a little sense to just kind of be able to push that off another year, just so you have the longer stretch of control, that longer stretch of, well, he's going to be a restricted free agent. What if he comes over and he blows your, you know, socks off, and in 2-3 years you say, well, this kid's going to be, you know, the next second round megastar, and you want a big three. Now you got a big four with Madar. Like, that could, what if that's the case? So you push off that one extra year contractually. He becomes a restricted free agent 1 year later, which means you control him for a little bit more of his career. You can match that contract as a restricted free agent. Just feels like that's a little bit more important. So for the long term, and I understand there might be a tendency to look at the short term, but for the long term, I'm still leaning towards Madar going back. All right, I'm going to come back. We're going to talk about Peyton Pritchard's big game, Romeo Langford, Aaron Nesmith, Carson Edwards. That's all coming up next. I got to tell you about Stat Hero. You know, 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose. It's not surprising because the game's basically rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, experts, people who do this professionally. They've got more tools, more time than you. You really just don't stand a chance. So here's Stat Hero. First ever daily fantasy sports book that puts player you in control and winning within reach. Works like this. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house. It's a head-to-head matchup in fantasy. You name your stakes, and it's winner take all. They're showing you their lineups, and no one else does that. So you're in total control. You can play Stat Hero now. Change the odds in a one-on-one game. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. Right now, you can get 3 times back on your first play. That's a 300% match, which is unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon.
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
If you watched the game, you saw Peyton Pritchard go nuts from the three-point line. 7 of 15. He took 15 three-pointers. I love summer league. 15 three-pointers for him. The Celtics took 51 three-pointers. Amazing. 51 of 81 shots were three-pointers, compared to 22 of the Atlanta Hawks shots. I mean, everybody was bombing away. Pritchard, 7 of 15 from deep, 23 points to lead the Celtics, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Let's just start with him. He's very clearly working on extending his range. That's something that we saw during the season. He continues to do so. He had a step inside the logo at one point here in this game. I understand why he's playing summer league, and there's other stuff that he needs to work on, and he should work on his defense and all of that stuff. But it's very clear that he's a little bit above everything else that's going on at summer league. I wouldn't be surprised if they toned it down and said, like, he played 31 minutes in this game. I don't know that they need to play him 31 minutes. I would have him go out there and hound the best player. Just put Pritchard on the other team's best player defensively and say, go. Let's see you do this. Let's see you defend this guy. If he's going to work on stuff like that, like, he's going to need to figure out how to defend. Let's get him some game film on making mistakes. Let's put him in a position to make mistakes defensively so we can learn from that. That's my takeaway from Pritchard, because otherwise he's fine. 23-5-5, two steals. That's a nice game from Pritchard. He really doesn't need to do much of anything else. Also, we were looking at this game to see, where's Romeo Langford at? Where's Aaron Nesmith? I thought Romeo Langford, so he finished with 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. A nice game. Nothing special, nothing crazy. But I think he came on a little bit in the second half. I think the first half he was just kind of there. And his first half numbers still looked okay, but I think he just was kind of there. There was nothing that stood out. In the second half, a little bit better defensively, a little bit better on the boards. He hit that game-winning shot, which was really good. To have that shot go to him, to have Pritchard see him and say, oh, that's my guy in the corner. Boom, get out there. He took that shot. Now, maybe you could have said they should have worked it for a little bit different amount of time on the clock. And, sure. But at that point, it doesn't necessarily matter. That's something you can say, hey, teachable moment. You might want to work the ball around in that spot and get yourself into a position to milk the clock a little bit more. But, hey, getting it to Langford in that spot, having him hit that three, he was 3 of 7 from three. That's not bad at all. 3 of 7 is good. What's that? 40%. 40-something percent. So that's pretty good. Yes. I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, 40, whatever. Over 40%. That's pretty good for him. So nice to see that. His shot still a little janky, I think. It's something that's still a work in progress. Not surprising that it's not where it needs to be, considering the wrist surgery and still not a ton of time to really work on that. However, still would like to see a little bit more consistency on the shot. Aaron Nesmith, the guy who is supposed to shoot well, was 5 of 14, 1 of 8 from 3, but like I said at the top of the show, not really worried about the ball going in, not going in. It seemed like Aaron Nesmith was more focused on, can I create? Let me create off the dribble. Let me take these contested threes. Let me work on some of these tougher shots. I think Nesmith is a guy that was working on something. As I say, very often in situations like this, I tweeted about it today. This situation, Summer League, is very much like a spring training baseball pitcher. Why I say the results don't matter is you see a guy for the Red Sox, let's say, trying to work on a slider. And he's going to throw that slider to 4 straight batters in situations where he's not necessarily supposed to throw a slider or would normally throw a slider, but he's throwing it. And maybe he's getting rocked. Maybe they're hitting home runs. He's giving back to back to back. But who cares about him giving up the home runs? It's not about giving up home runs in that spot. It's about working on the pitch. So that applies to Aaron Nesmith in that if he's working on that individual game, if he's working on, hey, let me see if I can take guys off the dribble. I need to work on my handle. Let me see what I can do against live defense. Let me see what I can do having to take contested shots. Maybe some of the shots that he's taking can be shots that he ultimately starts to have to make, because when the season begins and he's out there, he's going to have to make contested shots. That's just – everybody's supposed to make the wide open ones. If you're really going to be a sniper, if you're going to be the absolute sniper that he says he is, you're going to have to make some shots with a hand in your face. You're going to have to make some shots with a guy all up in your jock. So taking some of those shots, taking some contested ones, maybe playing a little bit different game right now, not so bad for Aaron Nesmith. So I'm not concerned about the ball not going in. I'm not even as concerned about the three turnovers. Langford's four turnovers, there were a few that I didn't like, but I'm more concerned about the stuff that I think is, how do I say this, in their control that they don't do well. That's the thing. I'm not concerned about them working on things. So Langford, so-so, decent, okay. I'm not down on him at all. I don't know if some people might be. I'm not down on Aaron Nesmith at all. Maybe some people thought that these guys, hey, John, you've been saying all along that these guys are going to be the guys that we count on, and how are you, you know, going to argue that when they didn't come out in summer league and dominate? Like, if they're going to be the guys that come off the bench, they're supposed to dominate in the situation, aren't they? Like, no, not necessarily. Like, yeah, it'd be nice to see, but again, I've seen guys dominate in these situations. It's more about what are they working on, and that actually brings me to Carson Edwards, who I don't want to say dominated, but 6 of 17 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. Nice game here. Team high 8 rebounds, which is kind of amazing for Carson. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. Nice game from Carson Edwards. But this, again, this is not a game where I look at Carson Edwards and I say, oh, wow, he's figured this out. He's figured it out. Maybe the Celtics shouldn't move him. They shouldn't consider moving on from him. Carson Edwards played well, but he played 30 minutes. And I think that this is, if I'm looking at the big body of work from Carson Edwards, the body of work that I see is a guy who, when he gets those 30 minutes and he has ample opportunity to have the offense flow through him, he'll find a way to catch fire. That's not something that I'm concerned about with Carson Edwards. My biggest concern is that he's not going to have 30 minutes, and he's not going to have the ball in his hands, and he's not going to have the offense flow through him like it did here. And frankly, against lesser competition. But the knock on Carson Edwards is that he needs that time. He needs the usage to be high for his production to be high. He can't produce right now on low usage. So I look at this game and I say, great, good for Carson Edwards. It doesn't change how I feel about his stature, his status on the Celtics, and maybe overall in the NBA. Now, maybe if he goes to a different situation where he can grow into that and have more usage, a higher usage rate, then maybe. But I don't think that the NBA is where Carson Edwards is going to have that high usage. If this is true, if my assessment of this is accurate, then I feel like Carson Edwards is more suited for an international game. That he's going to, and how many times have I said this on this podcast? Like recently, go out, live in Madrid, be a hero, play for a high level European team, make a ton of money, live a great life. I think that's just more the route for Carson Edwards. Nothing in this game made me think otherwise. We'll see. There's only one game. There's only one game, but we're looking for these signs. These are the signs that I see. Up next, Jason Tatum, gold medalist. Hello. And he actually, after kind of an up and down, mostly down Olympics, was very up in this game. So in the gold medal game. So I'll talk about that after I tell you about Built Bar. You know what I say about Built Bar, best tasting protein bar on the market. And I just happened to go over to Built.com, and guess what they have? Rocky Road, brand new flavor. Rocky Road with marshmallow and almond. It's a special limited time only while supplies last. And if you go and check it out, 150 calories, so low calorie on the new Rocky Road. The protein, 17 grams of protein, that's ridiculous. 6 grams of sugar. That's very low. These protein bars, these Built bars with these great flavors, are all low calorie, high protein, low sugar, low carbs. I can't recommend them enough, because you want to get that protein in your body. If you're working out, if you need a snack along the way, you need to get the good stuff in your body without the bad stuff. Because anybody can put protein in something, but it comes along with the bad stuff. Built Bar, the bad stuff's not really there. So go to built.com. You're going to use that promo code LOCKED15. Check it out. See what flavors you like. Maybe you don't want the Rocky Road. Maybe you want something fruity, like a cherry or a raspberry. Maybe you want something with peanut butter in it. If you've got a nut allergy, it's not a problem. They've got options for you. If you've got, if you're on the keto diet, it's fine. They've got options. For the whole thing actually is good for the keto diet. So go to built.com, use that promo code LOCKED15. And hey, they're also giving away a free travel cooler with your next purchase. So give it a shot. Free Built travel cooler with every bar purchase. Use that promo code LOCKED15. You're going to save 15% every time you order at built.com. Pile up those savings. You can go to BetOnline, which is your fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You can even bet on Summer League if you're so inclined. That's something that that people do. Not what I do, but hey, no judgment here. It's fun. If you want to do it, go for it. You can bet on international sports. You can bet on soccer. You can bet on whatever. The Olympics, whatever. The Olympics are done, but you could have bet on the Olympics. So head on over to BetOnline. Use your laptop. Use your mobile device. It doesn't matter. You can go sign up. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So create your username, create your password, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, make your first deposit, whatever that is, $200. They're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus of $100. So that's how the 50% welcome bonus works at BetOnline. So don't sit at the sidelines anymore. Get into the game at BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Just told you about BetOnline. Check out the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline. Your boy Q, Lee Sterling, going to give you everything you need to get that leg up by whenever you want to throw some money down on a game. Their locks, their wrong team favored, all of that. Check out Locked On Bets. Congratulations to Jason Tatum, Team USA, winners of gold medals in Tokyo, 87-82 gold medal win, gold medal game win over France, overcame a big game by Gershon Yabusele, or Yabusele, I guess. I don't know how they're pronouncing it now, but Yabu had 13 points. That was nice. We got Yabu and Poirier in there. Celtics all over the place. Tatum was fantastic off the bench. Best game of the tournament to me. I think he had a bigger game a couple games ago, but for him to come in this game, clutch gold medal game, great. Now he had ups and downs in this tournament. I think he didn't shoot particularly well overall. He had this shooting game, 19 points on 8 of 14, 3 of 5 from 3, 7 rebounds, a steal. This was a fantastic game. He had one other big shooting game that kind of skewed his percentages, but I think he, I don't want to say struggled, but he had to find a certain role here. Him coming off the bench to support Kevin Durant, who had 29 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Tatum was clearly the second best player on the floor in this. So congratulations to Jason Tatum. I think this is a fantastic way for him to end the tournament, obviously on that high note, to find that within him to have this game in a clutch moment is obviously, from a Celtics perspective, very encouraging. You see your star player go out there, accept a role to come off the bench, play that role to the best of his ability throughout the tournament. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it wasn't. And then he goes off in the gold medal game and has a huge performance that the Team USA needed every bit of. They needed every bit of what Tatum gave them. And so that was just great to see. Great to see the joy in his face. You know, I'm around Jason Tatum a lot. I see Jason Tatum as much as, I think, almost as much as his family sometimes. Just when we're on the road and we see each other more often than I think some of his friends, which I'm sure he wishes was not the case. I see Tatum. I see how he controls his emotions. He's a certain way with his teammates. He's definitely a certain way with the media, which I totally understand. In his walk-off interview, you can see the actual pure joy in his face that he was ready to bust, and he was trying like hell to control himself and be media Jay out there, but he, you know, couldn't let gold medal Jay, as he's calling himself, come through a little bit. You just see the smile on his face. It's funny to see the actual Jason Tatum come through because he does try to control himself. And again, I don't blame him for doing that. There's a certain, you know, you got to act a certain way as a star. And with the media, I know how it goes. You say the wrong thing and people want to take it and fly with it. And people like to take little chunks of what you say rather than the whole of what you say. And it comes out as a tweet. I tweet things out. You know, a lot of times he says something interesting and I'll tweet it out. And then people react to the tweets. And I don't do it as much as some other people, and especially I've gotten away from it a little bit more when I can't give the full context, because people just react to the tweet. And the tweet goes viral, and they're like, oh yeah, great, I got likes and retweets. But what does that get me? Doesn't make people read the full story. Even if I respond to that or quote tweet myself with the full context, people don't respond to that. They respond to the quote, the little quote. So I can understand why players don't want to give those little quotes, because it goes out and it spreads and they have to come back and defend themselves. I get it. This is kind of a screwy time in media with social media and all of that stuff. But Tatum got to let himself go a little bit and enjoy that moment. And it was good to see. It was good to see the pictures and the videos from inside the locker room, him having that champagne celebration. You know that he's like dying to have one of those in Boston now. And the best part of all of this is Tatum comes back from Tokyo, and what's the first thing that he does? He stops by Jaylen Brown's event for his, you know, Juice Foundation, and, you know, swings by and hangs out with Jaylen Brown and lets Jaylen Brown wear the gold medal. Like, that's all of the crap that you've heard about Tatum and Brown. Oh, they you know, play together, but they don't really like each other that much. They're not buddy-buddy. Like, I think that just kind of blew a big hole through that whole concept, that they're not buddy-buddy. Like, even if they're not, like, best friends, here's a dude, comes back from the Olympics, lands, goes directly to Jaylen Brown's event, and they're hanging out together, the two teammates, the two pillars of the franchise. And people want to say, well, that's not going to last. They don't like playing, or they don't really like each other. It's right there. So I think from a Celtics perspective, there's your proof right there. So huge week for Jason Tatum. Huge to see that celebration. Huge for him to have it with Ime Udoka there. The trash talk, if you saw some of Kevin Durant's Instagram Live, the trash talk, you know, Durant sitting there with Patty Mills saying, oh, we're going to be a problem for Boston. And, you know, Tatum swears at Kevin Durant, and Udoka comes in. It's like, yeah, we know how to shut down Patty Mills. Like, that's that little fun kind of thing, like that Tatum and Udoka get that moment there. I like where this is going. I do like where that's going. You know, we've spent a lot of time last week kind of rightly worried about what the plan is for the Celtics and still worried about the total impact of what the Celtics are going to suffer by going through this transition, this bridge year. It's not great, but you know, Tatum is improving. And I'm sorry to the people. I know I have a bad habit on the podcast of addressing people on Twitter who probably don't even listen to the podcast, but I said that Tatum needs to improve his handle so he can, you know, he can level up. And people, like, there's a segment of the fandom that's like, what do you mean? How can he level up? He's a, like, if you don't think Tatum can get better, if you think this is the best that Tatum can be at 23, then you're actually disrespecting Jason Tatum by sitting there saying, like, this is as good as he's going to get. This is, he doesn't need to do anything. He's already great. Like, no. For me, from a, like, I'm just saying this from a pure player perspective. When my coach used to say, when he used to get on me, and he used to get on me pretty good, he'd tell me, he's like, you know why I get on your ass? And I'd be pissed off. He's like, because I know you have more. I know that you have more to give. If I thought that you had maxed out what you can give us, then I wouldn't be saying this, because I know that you don't have anything else. But I get on you because I know that there's more that you can do. And that's how I approach things. When a player is who he is, then I'm not going to get on him as much. Tatum has levels to reach. Still, shot selection still can be improved. Handle definitely can be improved. The turnovers as he's driving, yeah, they've gotten better, still can improve. He can still level up. And if you think that Tatum is already great and whatever, whatever, that next there's another level for him to go. So I like that he's gone through everything with Team USA the way he did, that he had to accept the role, that he played with those players, they had conversation with those players, all of it. I like that he was there with Udoka. I like that they've already gotten a head start on their relationship. He's already working on how he wants Tatum to play when he's in Boston. This is all good stuff. It might be a little turbulence as this Celtics flight changes paths, but at some point that turbulence is going to give way to, I think, clear skies. Hopefully without any or too much collateral damage to the rest of the roster. That's all. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. There's a lot more to get to this week. I'm still going 5 days a week, I think, in September. Prepare yourself if you're a regular listener or a regular watcher on YouTube. I think in September I might drop down to 3 days a week for the month of September before they ramp back up. So, but right now, for August, for now, I'm going 5 days a week still. This is going to be a daily podcast once the season restarts. It's going to be a five-day-a-week podcast again. So very few days off for the Locked On Celtics podcast. So make sure you're subscribed. Summer League continues all week long, and I'll be doing podcasts all week long. So if you're not subscribed, please do so, especially on YouTube where the subscriber base continues to grow. And, of course, share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.